Before I dismiss the kids, I just want to let everybody see, if you didn't catch it last night, but the Seppo Brothers did a tremendous concert, and I did put it on Facebook Live. The quality is kind of yucky, but I'm going to try to put it on the website so everybody can see that. That was really fun. And just to hear some of the testimonies and the stories of our church and our history of this great church. But I wanted to make sure everybody sees this. Tom Seppo has given us a certificate of commemoration from Operation Transformation. To Port Huron Assembly of God, we salute you for 70 years in your building, 80 years of Assembly of God Church, 110 years of Pentecost in Port Huron, advancing the kingdom of God in the faith community of the greater Blue Water area. And that's from Reverend Tom Seppo, Operation Transformation. Amen. Praise God. And we're going to have a good time today. And in a little bit, I'm going to introduce some very, very special guests that are with us. But I wanted to just look at the word real quick, just some things that I felt were important for today. We're going to do something I didn't plan on until the 8:30 service, when the Lord kind of quickened this to us there, and we're going to do it in this service. So we flow with the Holy Ghost, amen, and just do what God wants us to do. That was one of, that was Danny's really strong message Friday night, to just be obedient. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Do what he tells you to do and flow with him. And we need to learn to hear his voice so we can flow with him. Of course, the written word of God is Logos. That's his voice. And the more familiar we are with this, the more we will be familiar to be able to hear the voice of his Spirit. Amen? Because there's always going to be in line. Amen? There's a story, I've told this a zillion times, but I love this story. It's one of my favorites, about a little boy and his grandpa. They're sitting in church on Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day Sunday. And there were flags all across the front of the altar area. There were little flags there. And the little boy turned to his grandpa and said, "Grandpa, what are all the flags doing there?" And the grandpa said, "Well, son, that's to remember all the people who died in the service." And all of a sudden, the little kid's face turned pale, and his mouth dropped. He said, "Which one, the 8:30 or 11? It's good to remember. It's important to remember. And it's biblical to remember. It was a shock to me to find all these things out 2 months ago, that here we are, such significant numbers, 70 years in this, on this property. Wow, 70 years. 80 years as an Assembly of God Church, and 110 years of the Pentecostal message being here in Port Huron. All happening this year. And I may, if I have time, I'll get, and I've already talked about a lot, the significance of 110. We definitely see the significance of the number 70 all throughout the Bible. I may touch on that a little bit. And then even the number 80 is very significant, and I believe prophetic. But here, all these things are culminating, and we've had so many things going on, so many issues we've had to deal with the building, and all kinds of, just all kinds of stuff going on. And I thought, no, we can't do a celebration. It's too late. I found out too late. But the Lord would not let me let go of it. And the reason is, I'm too grounded in the Word. And in the Word, it says, remember. And anytime God did something, God's people, the patriarchs especially, would build an altar. And that was for remembering. When they crossed the Jordan, they were told to stack up 12 stones as the 12 tribes crossed into the Promised Land. Why? To remember, so that people would come back and they'd see those 12 stones, a pillar, and they would remember what happened. So to remember is important. The book of Deuteronomy uses this word remember many times. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And I think that's interesting. He says, remember how you've been taken out of Egypt and how the Lord brought you out with his mighty hand, his outstretched arm. And he remembered, he says, keep the Sabbath. What does that say? Every week we're to remember the works of the Lord. It's not just to be once every 70 years or 80 years, but every Sabbath. And of course, we now worship on the Lord's Day, according to the New Testament. And we remember, we should always remember what God has done. If nothing else, if you've had a bad day and you had a rough day and the coffee maker spilled all over your counter and you didn't get your coffee and you had to get to church and the kids were yelling at you and there's fighting going on and you and your wife or your husband disagreed about something, once you walk in these doors, start remembering what God's done for you. Start remembering that he set you free, that he saved your soul. Can you imagine this? I don't even want to think about somebody not sharing the gospel with me. That right now, I've told people, I'm pretty convinced I'd be dead. Because I was living a lifestyle heading straight into death. And if somebody did not share the gospel with me, to think that I could spend all of eternity in hell without God. But somebody shared the gospel with me. And he revealed himself to me. And he gave me a new birth. And I'm saved. And so if there's nothing else, walk in these doors and just put everything else aside and say, I'm saved. I was saved out of Egypt. God has come into my life with a mighty arm. And some of you might say, well, I grew up in the church. I don't have a huge testimony. You walk in and say, thank you, God. Like Erwin this morning in our early service, we were remembering and we were praying and he was thanking God for his parents and he couldn't even get the words out that gave him this heritage. We need to, whatever the case, whether we've been delivered by a mighty outstretched arm of God or God blessed us with a heritage of the gospel, to walk in the doors and say, thank you, God, every week to remember. Deuteronomy 7:18 says, you shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You don't have to be afraid. That was one of the prophetic words today. You don't have to be afraid. Trust God. God delivered you before. He'll deliver you again. He did mighty works. He saved the people of Israel out of Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth. Saved them from him. You shall not be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of anybody. Oh, there are all kinds of demons and witches that are praying against the churches. Oh, there's a witch that lives two blocks away. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, touch her right now in the name of Jesus, even this moment. Because greater are you, Lord, in me that's in her. And Lord, I ask that you reveal your love to her. I'm not afraid. We don't want to be foolish and do dumb things. But we're not afraid. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Wow. We could plug something in there. Deuteronomy 8:2, we could say, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 70 years in this building. These 80 years as a congregation. These 110 years as a part of the Pentecostal movement. The Lord has led you all these years in the wilderness. You know, as much as God has blessed us in this life, we ain't in heaven yet. We ain't in heaven yet. We're in the wilderness. It's a wilderness time. God blesses, God prospers. I remember when my dad, boy, we used to argue about the Lord. He would argue about the Lord with me and stuff. And I thought, oh God, he's never going to get saved. No. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that. He's going to get saved. Well, praise God. He's out on the beach. He lived in Florida, Venice Beach in Florida. And he just goes to the beach. He's at this time, I think he's in his late 70s. And he was in his 80s already. So he's out on the beach, and he hears somebody speaking Belarusian. And nobody speaks Belarusian, not even Belarusians. Belarus is between Russia and Poland. But when the Russians took it over in the Soviet Union, they made everybody speak Russian. So he hears Belarusian in Venice, Florida, on the beach. He goes to the man. He says, are you speaking Belarusian? He says, yes. Why? Where are you from? And he names the village. Where are you from? Names the village. We're in villages right next to each other. And they start talking and they start singing and they're reciting poetry to each other and they're crying on the beach and they're hugging. And Volodya was his name, Vladimir. He said, come to my house. And they go to his house and they're singing songs and playing Belarusian records. And he's feeding my dad and they're having a great. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this, Volodya stops. He says, oh my goodness, wait, stop, turn off the music, honey, wait, stop. And my dad's like, what happened? And he leans across the table, said, Joe, my dad's name, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your life? My dad called me that afternoon. He says, you people are everywhere. Well, they became good friends. And Volodya invited him to his church. My dad calls me the next Sunday after going to this church. Said, Joe, I can't believe it. There's so many people, hundreds. Beautiful. It was a Slavic Pentecostal church. They spoke Russian, Ukrainian, Belarusian. And he said, there are hundreds and young people and little beautiful little Belarusian children. He said, beautiful. Oh, they sang and they sang and they sang such beautiful songs. And then the preacher came and they preached too long, just like you. But it was so beautiful. Well, he got to talking to the pastor. He says, my son is a pastor. He needs to preach here. So my dad's telling him, he has to preach here. Boy, I really got chased a rabbit there. So he says, I go visit the church, meet the pastor, and we set up a date to preach. So I preached to this Russian church, and so I had a translator and stuff. But the message that the Lord gave me is, you ain't in heaven yet. Because here's all these Ukrainians and Belarusians and Russians that came from such difficult circumstances to Florida. You know, palm trees, 80 degrees in the middle of winter. No snow and mud. I've been in Belarus in winter, and the snow and the mud and the cold. I used to have to, when I preached in Belarus, I had to wear long underwear underneath my suit because there was no heating in the buildings. I mean, I'd be preaching in my breath. We're talking a church of 1,000 people, and there's no heat in there. And so here they come from there to paradise. But I had to tell them, you're not in heaven yet. You're not in heaven yet. And we are in the wilderness. But God, he told us to remember that he led us through the wilderness. He led us. Remember, in the wilderness, he provided for them bread out of heaven. Their clothes didn't wear out. And there was a blessing upon their life, even as they were going. And he said he did this to test them. To test them. And we go through wilderness times. And you know, churches test. It's test time. I mean, if you're ever going to be tested in church, you're going to be tested. Amen? There's a lot of people that have failed the test. They don't go to church anymore. They've been hurt. They've been frustrated. God allows us to go through the wilderness to test us. And if there's anywhere that we get tested, it's in church. But that's where we learn how to love people that are different from us. That's where we learn how to work together. That's how we learn how to be patient with one another and love one another. And it's not easy, but when you have the Holy Spirit, it becomes a lot easier. Amen? I like this one. A couple more. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is today. God made a covenant with our patriarchs. We are now of the seed of Abraham. All of us who have Christ within us, we are now with the seed of Abraham. And as a result, we are blessed. We are blessed. And God made a covenant to bless us. And he gives us the ability or the power to produce wealth. Every one of you has a power within you to produce wealth. If you are a Christian, if you're a believer. And we got to remember that. We forget that. Our circumstances tell us this and that, etc. And then one more. Deuteronomy 9:27 says, remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look on the stubbornness of this people or on their wickedness or their sin. I want you to catch this. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look on the stubbornness of this people or on their wickedness or on their sin. We're to remember because we're to consciously take time to remember the heroes. Or to remember the ones who were before us, who made a way, a connection to God that we benefit from. And as I was sharing that in the early service, I thought, wow, last night when the Seppos were talking about how Tom was talking about a Sunday school teacher who came and knocked on his door and visited him, a Sunday school teacher visiting this little kid. And what an impact that had on the rest of his life. He'd never forget it. He remembers that man. The Bible says, remember Abraham, Isaac. Don't remember the bad folks. Don't remember the people who caused trouble. Don't remember the negative people. Remember the heroes. Don't forget the heroes. And I just want to take a few moments right now, especially those of you who have some history in this church. And if you could briefly tell us about a hero from time past in this church, a man or woman of God that had an impact on your life or had an impact on the kingdom. Amen.
Marianne and Pastor Johnny Johnson is probably the most inspirational people in my lifetime that's made such an impact on my life, our family's life, and it just, give them so much, I'm not good with words, I want to say, exalt them on high for their faithfulness to the church and to the ministry of God, that they are truly the best people that's ever crossed my path in my life.
Amen. I'd like to remember my father, Richard Jones. He was such a wonderful father and a great man of God. In his last days, he was a preacher, of course. He had the St. Clair Church, Assembly of God Church, taking the Royal Rangers out to swim, taking them out on an evening event. And unfortunately, he died by drowning. But we said he was ordained to heaven because you had to preach 2 years and then you would become ordained. And that was the time. So he was ordained right to heaven. And I'll never forget my father as long as I live. He was the best father. The best.
Amen.
I'm going to start crying. I know I will. I want to get you to Debbie Bolt. She was my when I was in the teenager years. And you know that goes, that's the hardest time of your life. And, you know, when she was born young, we kind of seen some angels, me and my husband died, and we didn't know it. It was just like a puff of smoke. And we got scared. I ran to Debbie, and I studied what in the world's going on. I don't know what's happening. And she explained everything to me. And when we had the laughter of the Holy Spirit in the church, again, I read her, like, what in the world's going on? And she seemed to be somebody that I could run to when I was a teenager. And she holds this. It's hard to say this, but she helped the teenagers here in the youth, here in this church. And we had a pretty big bunch at that time. And she was pretty strong with that. And she hasn't been here, but I tell you, I can remember that. To this day, I can remember her.
Yes.
I'd like to remember the elderly women in the church when we first came here to Port Huron, Sister Dish, Sister English, and others. The elderly women of the church that were the saints of God that prayed for the church and were really the backbone. What a privilege it was to know them. And, you know, you learn a lot from people like that, people that are prayerful and dedicated to the Lord. You learn to be faithful from them. And I'm thankful for that heritage that I learned that from those precious women and the many other elderly saints that have already gone home to be with Jesus. And we know that we'll see them again someday. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. You know, it's interesting. If you look at the history of just about every church, and it's definitely in this church, you can trace it back to some elderly ladies who prayed together and just stormed heaven. God, send revival. God, send us a preacher. God, send us a pastor. God, send an evangelist. And God would. He's not going to deny them that. Amen. Before I come to you, Vicki, share what happened last night with Nancy, and this is such a great story.
Nancy, I discovered, her mother was Helen Neves, and I had no idea. She was a wonderful woman. I mean, she was a believer, and she was faithful, and I just was so excited to hear about her children, because I was so concerned when she died what would become of the children. And I was so thrilled to see Nancy and that she was Helen's.
That's great. That's great. Wow. And that's part of why this is so important to remember. Look what happened and how she had wondered for so long. Deborah wondered, what happened to the kids? And there's one she's been going to church with for years. And what a joy.
I just wanted to salute the integrity and the strength of Pastor Johnny and Marian Johnson. They've been a tremendous example to me and my family.
Vicki and Pat and then.
I go way back. I was married here a long time. Married and all. We won't say how many times, but I was married here. I brought my babies here from the newborns, and there's just a lot goes back. But one thing that really, really blesses me is my grandpa O'Connor. Grandma was a Christian. She was faithful. They had 16 kids, and he would drink. He was an alcoholic. He would drink every weekend. Every weekend he knew what was going on. I really never got to know my grandpa O'Connor because we didn't go over there very well. But at the end, my mother was a real witness to him. She really was encouraged him. And finally, way up in his old age, he accepted Jesus. And that man, he really had a born-again experience. And when he was laying on that deathbed, he's speaking in tongues and everything else. And he, praise God, my grandpa's up there in heaven. Well, I got more grandpas than that, but.
Wow. And he came to my father's funeral. That's when he got saved.
Is it?
Wow.
I can remember that.
Well, he's a changed man.
Lord, do it again. Do it again. Lord, we pray for the drug addicts, the drunks, the mentally ill, whatever the issues are, to come and find deliverance and healing once again, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. I was just thinking here about 30, maybe 35 years ago, I was in alcohol and a bunch of other stuff. Well, maybe it was 40 years. Who knows? Time flies. You know, the Bible says it's nothing but a vapor, and I believe that. Anyway, I was, you know, drinking. My brother used to come here, and, You know, he'd say, come on, come on, come on. I'd say, yeah, 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 I will, you know. And then he sends over who? Pastor Johnson comes knocking on the door. Oh, we'd like to see you come out to church. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. And, you know, of course, when you're a sinner and you're a good one, you tell preachers like this, I'll be there, but, you know, you're okay to lie because you're not a believer. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, he kept on coming about two times, three times. Finally, I said, okay, I'll be there. I came here. I'll never forget the day that I came here. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and things has been supernatural. I mean, my words couldn't even explain how God uses us and uses him. And, you know, the word says, highly esteem those that in the ministry, you know. So I looked up Pastor Johnson and Mary Ann my brother and all the people of God. Amen.
Amen. You know, with that, thank you so much. With that, I can't think of a better introduction. We honor Pastor Johnny Johnson and Mary Ann. And I've said this before, but when I came to Port Huron, like immediately, I'd introduce myself. Who are you? I'm the new pastor at Port Huron Assembly of God. I got saved in that church, Pastor Johnny Johnson. Yeah. I'm Joe. I just came here. What do you do? Oh, I'm pastor at Port Huron Assembly of God. Oh, Johnny and Mary Ann Johnson. Oh, Mary Ann, she just spoke. She would teach the word. And I grew so much there. Dedications, baptisms, you know, everybody, just so much impact and influence. And we are so honored on this day to have with us Johnny and Mary Ann. And would you come and whatever the Lord has for these closing moments, come and share and don't hurry up. We are just so blessed to have you here today. You know, revival, one more thing, the revival that so marks their ministry, it literally seeps out of the walls and the heritage of this church, and it's here. I mean, the presence of God, we've gone through tough times, we've gone through hard times, lean times, but I believe that God has, you know, you were just one of those people, patriarchs, both of you, have just establishing that spirit of revival. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll let my beautiful wife. How long have we been married?
55 years.
55.
Well, we met each other in church. We were 13 years old. You believe that you can be destined to your life's partner at 13. That's possible. And we looked at each other and going to keep an eye on him and keep an eye on her. We're glad to be here. I can feel the presence of the Lord here. You have freedom of worship. You're warm and you're friendly. And this place is a good place to be. Amen. Two or three together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst. And we're so happy to be here and share this happy time with you. I just want to say one more thing. I'm standing here today, a miracle. I've been given a death sentence at least twice. But, you know, when the Lord's not done with us, we're still here. Amen. And so I'm thankful that I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb because it hasn't changed. You know that Jesus said, I don't have any sickness in heaven. So we know where it comes from. But Jesus died that we might be healed. Stage 4, breast cancer. But I'm still here because God has a work for me to do. Amen. That's why after we get saved, he doesn't just bop us over the head and take us to heaven. We're here for others. And many times we think that who am I? But you stand as a living testimony. Wherever you go, you are a living testimony. I had a wonderful experience just on the way home from our convention. So I went in a little hamburger joint
and I saw the lady behind the counter, and I thought to myself, we were 2 hours from home. Am I taking too long?
No, sweetie.
Okay.
I can't improve on this. Go ahead.
And behind the counter, couldn't help. I thought, I know that lady. Surely I know her. When in reality, she had the family resemblance. Do you know what that is? They say when you get to heaven, everybody kind of looks alike. They got that family resemblance. And when I got up to the counter, I thought, if I had time, I knew this lady. We'd be such good friends. I know we would. And I got a little closer. And I said, and you know, it's important not to interject ourselves. But I said, do you know Jesus? And she broke down in tears right there behind the counter. She said, yes, I do. And we both felt the power of God. And I said, I just want you to know that it shows.
It shows.
Wow. It shows. Wherever we go, it's not just the fivefold ministry today, beloved. It's all of us. It's to be a witness wherever you can be and get the harvest in so we all can go home and be with Jesus. I'm not looking for any antichrist. I'm saying, Lord, give me what I need to finish this race and bring the souls in so we can go home and see Jesus. Amen. I can tell you've got the family resemblance. It's good to be here.
Give Marianne a hand, will you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, it's kind of like the fellow who called the church. This is kind of a joke. He called the church and said, I want to talk to somebody about your church and all. And I want to talk to the pastor. And somebody said, well, do you want to talk to the pastor or do you want to know what's going on around here and who knows what's what? Because that's a secretary. She can answer that question for you. And that's kind of the way Marianne is. She really knows what's going on. You know, I have a title, but she really is in touch with people and knows what's going on. So, as you can tell, she's got a real anointing on her life. And
that was a wonderful message, Pastor Joe. I love it. I love it because it was out of the book of Deuteronomy, written by Moses. And from what I understand, Moses
was God's favorite. That's what I understand. Anyway, he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament called the Pentateuch. And he did a great job. I certainly, you talk about a pastor, he had a big job. And, you know, I watch Carlton Heston's movie, The Ten Commandments, from time to time, and I love it. And were awesome by how they parted the Red Sea and all of that, you know. But when you think of all he went through, I'm surprised that the only thing he did do was, instead of speaking to something, he kicked it. But anyway, he had a lot to deal with. But he wrote those, and I understand that he wrote those because he was so close to God. God gave him so much insight, and he was able to write those five books of the Old Testament. Now, I have a Bible here that I use. It's called a Recovery Bible. And I use it because I find in the Bible that sometimes older people forget the Lord. They backslide. You know, Saul got away from God. David made a mistake. They say even sometimes the last days of Solomon, the wisest man, got to involved with some idols from his wives and things like that. So, you know, it's not only the young people that have to remember the Creator in the days of their youth, but it's older folks too, you know. So I feel like I'm still in recovery. Amen? I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget that it's very important to keep the straight and narrow. And I understand that when you read the Bible, the angels rejoice. They watch you read the word. They're thrilled. And they'll also help you more if you'll read the word. They will help you. I mean, there's books written by men who talk about using your angels. You have angels. And if you'll serve God right, you'll find you get a lot more work done in a short time because you'll have some angelic help along the way. How many of you say, Lord, I forgot where I put that thing. I lost this or I lost that. Where did it go? You turn around and there it is. I tell my wife, you know, I dropped my keys and I can't find them, and there they are on the kitchen table. An angel picked them up and brought them. And I believe that. I believe that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But, you know, I'm not going to take much time because I know that the mind cannot comprehend more than the seed can endure. And everybody, you know, my wife reminded me. She said, you know, a lot of people, when someone preaches, it's better that they want you to say more than for you to say less. In other words, say something they really like and they're interested in, then let them go. Don't let them wish you would be quiet. So, as I was praying about this service this morning and throughout the night, because you're talking about church, and I love church. That's why I've pastored consistently for over 50 years. And that's because I love the church. I would almost pay to preach. I love the church. I love to be part of God's kingdom. And I thought about it, you know, as I meditate on this, Genesis 1:1 says, God created the heavens and the earth. And God formed man's body from the dust of the ground. And how many of you know our bodies, when it's analyzed, is dust? You know that. You that are chemists know that. And he breathed into him life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 3:6. Adam and Eve sinned because they listened to Satan rather than to God. You see why I got that recovery Bible here? How many of you know that Satan probably does more talking to us than we want to admit? Can you say amen? But we got to listen to God. We got to hear God's voice. And there's a lot of deception going on in these last days. Even the very elect, it says, will maybe be deceived. So they listened to God, and they didn't listen to God. And Satan is still deceiving people today. 3:13. From now on, you and the woman will be enemies, as God talked to Satan, and your offsprings will be enemies. Your offspring and her offspring, but you will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. And of course, what that means, church, if I can move around here without squeaking the PA system too much, what that means is I just have an illustration, because sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. When I was in the Holy Land, I bought these replicas of the nails because it impressed me so much. Maybe it wasn't even in the Holy Land. No, I think I bought these for an Easter promotion. That's what it was. These are replicas of the nails that went through Jesus' feet and hands. Replicas of the Roman spikes. And so that's what bruised Jesus' heel, as far as I can be concerned, because they nailed his feet to the cross. They nailed his hands to the cross with nails like that. And we've all seen the Passion movie and others, movies like that. And my son loves God and went to Pensacola and graduated from there. And, you know, whenever he comes to visit me, he'll always check my Bible out. He tells me, Dad, now I want your Bible if and when you die. And I want you to write me some things. I want you to tell me your secrets. And when you journal, Dad, I want to know your journals because I want to know how you communicate with God. And so he gave me this plaque on one Christmas season, even when he was a college student.
And this is a plaque of the words that I'm going to read for you. And then I saw an angel come down from heaven with a key to the bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand. And he seized the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years and threw him into the bottomless pit, which he shut and he locked it so that he could not fool the nations of the world any longer. And so this is a picture of how Satan is going to have his head stepped on. Yes, he did bruise the heel of Jesus on the cross for our sins, but Satan knows his time is short. Can you say amen? He's going to be stepped on. He's going to be destroyed. He's going to be locked up forever, the Bible says, in that bottomless pit. And that is an angelic description, you might say, of the angel taking Satan and putting him in the bottomless pit. It's a very, very serious thing. I'll just set this up here for now, someplace where you can see it later. But anyway, that's what it's all about. And that's what came to my mind as far as the church is concerned. Because this is what the scripture says. It says that, I'm continuing with that revelation, and it says, verse 3, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the thing I'm pointing out is that what happens in Genesis also is spoken of in Revelation, which it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the present earth and skies had disappeared. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And it was a glorious sight and beautiful as a bride at her wedding. The home of God is now among men and the people, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and he will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for all that has for all that is gone forever. In Revelation chapter 21, chapter 20 and chapter 21 in Revelation. And in concluding, what came to my mind was this. Jesus asked, who do you think I am? And Peter said, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And upon this, Jesus said, and upon this will I build my church, and all the powers of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We know how to get our prayers answered. We know how to get blessings upon us. And we know the promises of God. Now, that was Jesus speaking that in Matthew chapter 16 in the first book of the New Testament. And it is the last book of the New Testament that says that John, I, John, have a message for the churches, the seven churches. I have a message for the Ephesian church, the loveless church, the Smyrna church, the persecuted church, Pergamos, the church that was lenient, and Thyatira, the compromising church, and Sardis, the lifeless church, and Philadelphia, the obedient church, and Laodicea, the lukewarm church. My friends, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, throughout the whole Bible, you see how God ties everything together. It's all there. It's wonderful. And I would challenge you to get into the Word of God. I'm listening now to these scriptures that are on CD players, and I'm just about to finish the Old Testament, and then I'll be in the New Testament, which is much shorter than the Old Testament, but I will complete it before the end of the year. And so I would just challenge you to keep that in mind and remember to study the Word of God and stay close to God. And we just want to continue to pray that God will just bless you richly. And everybody said, amen, Pastor Joe. Thank you once again. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Marianne. Again, we're just so blessed to have you here with us and to just honor this time and this day and this year, what God has done. And I would assume that we all have a relationship with God, but maybe you really need to take a step towards Jesus today. And you're hearing these stories. You've heard about just so much about the kingdom of God and about God. And you're saying, Pastor, I'm missing out. I'm missing something. I need more of that personal relationship. And if that's you, I'm going to pray in a little bit and just invite you to pray with me. And if you need to accept Jesus in your heart, you need to recommit your life to Him, this could be your day, October 27th, 2019, that you'll look back on, as some of these folks all can look back on significant moments in their lives. And remember, Jesus, it's not about religion. It's not about what denomination you're a part of. It's not how many rules you follow. It's not even about the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments show us how much we need God because we break them. And what it's about is about Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And He was seen by many witnesses. And He said, if you would confess Him as your Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so today, if you say, Pastor, I believe Jesus is alive, Pastor. And you'd say, Pastor, I confess Jesus is Lord. I know He's Lord, and I make Him my Lord. You're saved. You're saved. And you may struggle. You may go through some difficulties. But if you sincerely from your heart believe that, God will give you His Spirit and will cause your spirit to be reborn. And I believe God wants you in His family. He wants you so much if you're not a part already. So we're going to pray in a moment, and I encourage you to pray with me here. And I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer out loud. Even if you're already a believer and you're strong, you're walking with God, it's always just so good to reaffirm our faith. And so if everybody will repeat after me, especially if you personally just want to take a step towards God today, maybe for the first time or recommitment, just say this with me. It's not about the words, but it's about the heart of this prayer. But repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dying for my sins. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I invite you into my life. I believe you are alive, and I confess you as Lord. I want you to be my Lord. Amen.